Their next guest on High Velocity today, this is going to be a fun interview, are two good guys. I'm really looking forward to this one. I want to welcome Scotland Wright, who's the founder and president of Scotland Wright Associates, as well as Patrick Braswell, who's a principal with the company. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Why don't one of you sit down and tell us what this company is all about, the kind of things you're out there serving people and trying to do?
Well, we are a commercial real estate firm specializing in representing companies to help them find office space or industrial type space, office warehouse type of properties. And all we do is specialize in representing the tenant. We do not represent buildings or building owners or landlords, simply the tenant.
Hey, one quick thing that I'd like to ask you, Todd, since you're a Chicago fan, I know this is a business radio station, but Jay Cutler.
Yeah, what is the deal?
Why wouldn't he come back in?
What did he do?
Well, that poor bastard has just defined his career yesterday, did he not? I mean, what a tragedy. He's got an MRI scheduled the next day or two, and for his sanity and future of his career, I hope that it comes back that he's got a damaged knee just to save his reputation.
I mean, just what a poor attitude. Did you see that guy just with the head down, walking to the sideline, and then, you know, I switch the game, come back. I'm like, where is he? They pull him? No, he's over there on the sideline walking around.
But what I
like, he's
know
not
is
even limping.
The third string quarterback comes in and does a whale.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Where's he been? Yeah. Darn near became the hero, and I think we got a controversy next training camp. I hope there's more to that story with Cutler. The two sports teams I've chosen to pick and support in my year have caused me an awful lot of heartache and angst, and that's the Red Sox and the Bears. God bless us, hopefully there's more of that story that salvages that.
Try being a Clemson and a South Carolina fan.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to give you any Clemson.
You got to be good-natured guy.
I wasn't going to give any Clemson crap, but now you brought up the Bears. I don't know.
The gloves are off.
Well, don't throw the Gamecocks in there. You know, the ultimate in mediocrity for the last 50 years, so.
Hey, you guys have owned us this year, though. That's all I have to say. Anyway, well, sorry about that.
It is a little unusual.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
It is a little unusual, Todd and Stone, that you have a South Carolina graduate and a Clemson graduate that become partners in a real estate company. There's a lot of infighting that's going on.
It's a fascinating dynamic. Yeah. I suspect the competitive edge probably helps with the creative side of the business and all that. Two problems with the Gamecocks, Steve and Spurrier. Who won the bowl game on New Year's Eve? I can't remember.
We don't want to talk about it. Yeah, let's go on into real estate.
Yeah, let's talk about the business. Mm-hmm. So, commercial real estate. I mean, that's if you read the newspaper, there are everything is wrong with that market.
Yeah, you're going to have to get a job if you read the paper.
A glut of space. All kinds of problems with going back on the lenders and this recession. And I mean, what's the real story behind that market?
Well, that has certainly been the case for the last couple of years. We've got a way oversupply of office space and industrial space, for that matter. And what's happened when we typically have had down markets in the past, it's been specific to real estate or something directly related. But when you have the whole economy affected, everyone's pulling back, not moving forward in growth and taking down additional space because they're growing and things like that. It's just come to a standstill. However, things are starting to change. The attitude is starting to change. We're starting to be more optimistic. We're looking at things with a little better picture ahead of us and really feel like things will start turning later this year, certainly in 2012. But for the last 2 years, it has been really a tough market, particularly for the landlords and the owners of the buildings. But what we do, representing tenants, as I mentioned earlier, is really a great time to be a tenant because there's so many buildings out there that have a lot of supply, a lot of extra space. They'd like nothing better than to have that space filled. So they are getting very aggressive and doing what they need to do to get people in their properties.
Yeah, and I think what you hear a lot is the papers are talking about the Buckhead office market. I mean, of course, you get four buildings come online speculatively with no tenants coming in there yet. And, of course, it's going to make some news. But I think it's a case-by-case submarket basis. This submarket may be healthier than that submarket, but you know the papers tend to focus on the glamorous, and that's the Buckhead office market.
But there's glut and space all over town, right?
Oh, of course.
I mean, you have a choice of where you want to go if you want to get some space.
Yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, there's great deals out there regardless. It's just, you know, Buckhead's a little bit worse than the other markets, and that's what the papers tend to focus in on.
We had four significant properties delivered in a very short time frame in Buckhead. So that's why so much attention is put into that market. And a lot of those buildings are still having a lot of space available.
Ooh, so it makes for a really pretty skyline, though.
Oh, yeah, it does. It looks really nice.
So I got to know, how do you get in the commercial real estate business? I mean, everybody else, you know, Johnny's running around. He wants to be a fireman. Billy wants to be a policeman. You decide, I'm going to be in commercial real estate. How did you get down that path?
Stone, it's real simple. If you're prepared to go hungry for about 5 years, you can get in the real estate business. It's a commission-driven business, typically, at least what we do. But there really aren't many barriers. Oftentimes, it's multiple different types of college degrees or whatever can lead you into real estate. A lot of times, it's just relationship and how you deal with people.
Low barrier to entry. Sounds like the radio business, Todd.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, if talk about going hungry, you talk about two guys who have gone hungry for 5 years. And yeah, I understand.
Well, if you're prepared to knock on a lot of doors and get in front of a lot of people and be willing to take no for an answer more times than you get yes, you'll make it.
So how does the day-to-day work? I'm always fascinated by sales and marketing processes. That's the way I've managed to pay the rent over the last 20-plus years. Day-to-day, you get up in the morning. How do you go to market? How do you get out there, tell your story, and differentiate yourselves from everybody else that we read about in the Atlanta Business Chronicle?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, the commercial real estate industry by its nature is very, very competitive. So it's always, how do you differentiate yourselves? How does Scotland Wright Associates differentiate yourselves? And, you know, a lot of what Kathy's doing is, you know, we've started pushing social media, you know, LinkedIn, Twitter, just other ways to get in front of people. I think most shops in Atlanta, when they have new people, will come in and they'll tell you to, you know, make 100 cold calls a day. Well, who likes to make 100 cold calls a day?
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, no one does. And and especially with the economy being as bad as it's been over the last couple of years, even the seasoned guys are making cold calls. So you can imagine the decision makers, how often they're getting phone calls of, hey, I want to talk about your lease. I want to talk about your office space. And it's just going click, click. I mean, you say the word commercial real estate and they're almost hanging up on you without a doubt. So for us, it's just, how can we use LinkedIn and Twitter to at least start the conversation? That's not going to close the deal. You still got to meet with these people. But instead of just going in to say, let's talk about your real estate, Scotland and I want to know you. We want to know your business. We want to know how we can actually get you in front of people and contacts that are going to help your business. And then at some point, if the real estate comes up, then, you know, we're there to help you out. But I think for us, LinkedIn has been just a huge, huge tool. The ability to go in and just research companies that way and research individuals that way and find a commonality with them to be able to approach them that way versus just a straight cold call. Hey, I'm Patrick Braswell, and I want to represent you on your office. Click. Hello. What?
Oh, hello.
They don't say, where have you been all my life?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Hasn't happened.
Well, Kathy was sharing about how there are tools out there that a schmuck like me can maybe even try to do my books on my own. But there's probably a lot of people out there that believe that they could find their own commercial space on their own. I mean, how does that work? I mean, how can that work, or how can it not work?
A lot of people do think that. Actually, I say a lot of people. It's not as many people as you might think. Reason being is because, you know, when you're dealing in a market where Atlanta, for example, industrial space, there's about 600 million square feet, metro Atlanta. Office space is over 250,000 square feet of office space. So when you sit there and think that you can go out there and find the right space for you to occupy, it's not as easy as it seems. And if someone is willing to take the time and the effort to ride around, find out the buildings, pull names off of signs, you know, who knows if those signs are even updated and things like that. And I mean, they're going to spin their wheels and waste a lot of time. And that's where we really come in and help them, because this is what we do every day. For something that they do every 3, typically 5, 7 years, we're doing every single day. And so we're in the marketplace. We know what's going on. We know the type of product that they're looking for. We know where they want to be typically. And with those guidelines, we can hit the ground running and help them out and save them a lot of time and, most importantly, save them a lot of money.
I don't mean to simplify this, but I need to do it so Stone understands. But is it fair to say that if Stone and I put on a suit, and that assumes Stone has a suit,
yeah,
were to walk up to a space and say, hello, we'd like to lease this, that we would not get as good a deal as if a professional who knows how to work that and their relationships? I mean, is that fair to assume that?
Yeah, that's fair. I'm going to jump in here.
After having gotten to know us for the last 20,
yeah,
25
right.
minutes, you feel,
yeah,
you feel like that's
fair for you guys.
Yeah, yeah, fair assumption.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the landlord or the owner is going to look at you one of two ways. They're going to look at you, okay, this guy's coming in. He doesn't have any representation. I'm going to make one whale of a deal here. He just is, because he knows something that he is doing all the time. He's trying to lease space to a guy who does this every 5, 7, 10 years. There's just no way that person on the outside is going to be able to strike as good a deal. I don't care how good he is. He'll get a, you know, he'll do something, but he won't do as well if he had representation. The other response is landlord's going to look at this guy walking up and he doesn't have representation. Said, how real is he? Is he qualified? Am I going to be wasting my time trying to make a deal with this guy? So you, most of the time, if you don't have representation, because typically the deals in Atlanta have some representation, and if people come up out of the blue, no representation, they're a little suspect if this person is real or not.
Yeah, and then there's always the nuances of, you know, whether it be the request for proposals, proposals sent out of the leases, that just by our nature of what we do every day, we understand that and we know how to negotiate that. You know, an example is just the flexibility of the lease. You know, the landlord is going to want you to sign a 7-year deal or 10-year deal, or there's a flexibility to get out of it. You know, someone that doesn't do this isn't going to think that there is. They're just going to take it and kind of run with it. But Scotland and I know how to look at that and make sure that you and your interest, whether it be how do you securitize the lease or not, is protected to the utmost degree.
You know, when you talk about a lease document, you're talking about some really exciting stuff. And if you have any trouble sleeping, just put a, you know, start reading a lease and you'll be out in about 5 minutes. So
100 pages of goodness.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I mean, that's what a lease is, 100 pages of just legal jargon and stuff that would probably spook most people. Well, it certainly spooked me.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
So if you were no longer in the business and you were interviewing someone to represent you, what kind of questions would you ask them to see if it was a good – I sort of asked the same question in the last interview. But you know, how do you know if it's the right person to be representing me for what I'm trying to do?
I think, you know, Kathy did a great job of explaining for her, and it's kind of similar for us. You know, you want to get as many opinions as you can, so maybe do three people. But, you know, Scotland and I would like to just say that we have a relationship with the person to begin with, and they want us to just come in and represent them. But you want to make sure your personalities fit. I mean, that's going to be the biggest thing. You're going to be in the car with each other touring, you know, 3 to 10 buildings. Maybe twice. So,
I don't care how good they are. If you don't like them,
right? If you don't
work.
Like them, then it is going to wear on your nerves.
It's a long day.
Right. And
then or if they don't wear deodorant. I mean, there's a lot of things that could fall through the cracks here.
And then after that, I mean, you're going to be on the phone with each other a good bit to discuss the lease, discuss the proposals. I mean, it is a time-consuming process. So I think one question that I would ask, you know, how are you going to save me time? Everyone that you talk to in our industry is going to tell you that they're going to save you money. And honestly, they will save you money, and we're going to save you money too. But the thing that separates everyone else is how are they going to save me time? My time is my most valuable resource, and I want to make sure that it's spent towards my core business, not spent towards looking for office space or trying to do my own office renewal or industrial renewal.
Walk our audience through how an engagement with you guys would begin. What's the if there's someone out in the audience that begins to need that representation as you use, how does that process start? How does that work, and how does it begin? How does that look?
Well, basically, we get together, talk, visit, just as Patrick says, try to get to know each other, try to find out what goals and objectives the client has for their real estate. And then we hit the ground running as far as we do work on an exclusive basis. So when a company wants us to help them with this project that they have for office space or industrial space, in exchange for the time and the effort that we'll be putting into the project, because it is very time-consuming, we request that we work on an exclusive basis. So that, in other words, they're only going to work with us. They're not going to work with multiple brokers. You know, there's a misnomer out there that they think, well, if I got 2 or 3 brokers representing me or looking for space, I'm going to find 2 or 3 times the space. That's just not true.
Is that common?
Not as much as it used to be. Is that, you know, one thing, great thing about Atlanta, quite frankly, is the business people out there have been pretty well educated in real estate. Atlanta's very much a real estate town, and so they are constantly being called on by real estate people. And in through that process, they gain more knowledge and information. So it's unusual for somebody to think that they can get multiple the coverage with multiple brokers. It just doesn't happen that way anymore.
Now, you guys have been at this for quite a while. I'm curious, what do you find most rewarding about the work you're doing, and what do you find a little bit challenging or even frustrating from time to time working in this arena?
For me, personally, it's just the friendships and the relationships that get established over a long period of time. And quite frankly, 70% of our business is repeat business. It's people that we have represented many, many years, multiple transactions over a period of time. And they really, they become our friends. And we get to know each other on a social basis, not just on a business level. And so the relationships that form out of that is a lot of fun. Also, you're dealing with all kinds of people in so many different types of businesses. It's amazing how many ways there are to make a buck out there. And you come across all different types of people, from the person sweeping the floors in the warehouse to the owner of the company, you know, Fortune 500 companies. It's, you get a wide array of personalities. It's fun.
You can't imagine the diverse and eclectic different people we meet on this show.
Yeah. I mean, could only imagine, Todd.
I mean, the dog whisperer. Still remember the dog whisperer? And we've had some
We had a dog whisperer.
Yeah, I bet that was a quiet show.
Was it Caesar?
Well, Stone was on it, so no.
We're living proof. You can make a living almost anyway.
But there's no doubt that it's a viciously competitive market space, right? I mean, did the recession do anything to weed out some competition?
You would have thought it would have, but it really hasn't.
Really?
Yeah, I think, and, you know, we've had this conversation. We're friendly with all of our competitors, and we've had this conversation with people that we know and respect. And I think the most common response I got is there just are no jobs. So even if you did want to get out of the business, where are you going to go? You know, you have no other job or occupation to go into. So people that we thought may have been weeded out are all still in it, which, you know, makes our jobs a little bit harder because, again, when you mention the word real estate, a lot of times people just don't want to talk to you because they've been inundated with so many calls. And it's not that calls are bad. It's the way that people go about the calls. They're not adding any value. They're just asking you about your office lease. They're not being innovative with their process. They're just asking you about the office lease. So it's we thought that, and it has not yet happened.
We wish it would.
Yeah. Right. Well, you mentioned that relationship building is a big piece of how you guys go to market. In that competitive space, what are some other things you guys are doing to stand out, differentiate yourself?
The orange vest, don't you think?
I think the orange vest. And that's
I got to represent Clemson. Hello.
Clemson hooey, but, you know, anyway.
I'm having lunch with a Clemson grad today. They respect the orange vest.
respect the vest.
The orange.
That's a good slogan.
I mean, you
got to
say
vest.
Respect the orange vest. So.
And for everyone listening, it's a sweater. It's not a vest. Come on now. I'm 31 years old. I don't wear vests. Not yet. Maybe when I get to 50 or 51.
Easy, boy.
He's sensitive. Don't you
think? I'm sorry, Todd. What was the question again after all
I
that?
I have no idea. I'm looking at that orange sweater vest, but all right.
It's blinding.
It is blinding. I got to tell you, there's a lot of orange out there. Why couldn't you be like a burnt orange like Texas, man? It could at least be a cool hip orange.
Or like my wife, Tennessee, the pale orange, you know. Oh,
that's
man.
Even worse. We won't talk about
we
that.
We won't talk about that.
That's just rancid.
But you were starting to talk about differentiation, and I mean, is there specialization, too? I'd like to have that in the same conversation. You know, do some folks say, I only handle industrial space on the northeast side? And
there is specialization. You know, people either specialize in office or industrial. Scotland's been so great and been doing this so long that he does both office and industrial. You know, for me personally, I've done a lot with technology companies. I think I'm very interested in technology. You know, I obviously brought my iPad here with the interview. So, you know, I love it. And from whoever I network with, that's tends to be who I run into. And then a lot of stuff that we're doing is we're trying to be more innovative. And I think, you know, small businesses out there, especially with today's technology, can, in my opinion, be more innovative than the big companies and find better ways to do things that it would take too long for a big company to get to. And, you know, we've got a couple innovations that we're working on that we have not launched yet, so I can't bring it up to your audience. But, once we get those out there, we will. But I think it's going to save our clients a great deal of time that they spend on this actual process.
Maybe that's our way of getting back on the show, you know, when we're ready to announce.
There you go. Nice. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, seriously, we'd love to be a part of helping you announce that. Guys, we're about out of time. Do the audience a favor and let them know all the ways they can get in touch with you and how to initiate an engagement.
Well, our website is scotlandwright.com, simply Scotland Wright. Scotland spelled just like the country, one T, Wright.com. And, of course, we phone numbers and all that sort of thing. Email's the same, all with the basis of scotlandwright.com.
Yeah, and then on Twitter, you know, Patrick Braswell, twitter.com, and then mossatlanta.com is another site that Scotland Wright and I sponsor. And it's just a site that if you were to actually Google the word Office Space Atlanta, it'd be on the front page. So it's a good feeder for us to get people to come in and just that are out looking for office space.
And does Scotland Right have a company profile on LinkedIn? Is that another way they can get
it? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yep.
Certainly do.
Of course.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate that.
That's right. Thanks for that.
But let's, hey, Todd, let's do get them back and maybe come on with a satisfied client. Wouldn't that be fun?
Great idea.
Like a lot of round table.
Great idea. We have lots of
you do have one, right?
We've got lots, though. Lot of them. Certainly do.
Hey, and we'll see if we can find a satisfied client, and it'll be just a party.
Well, let's not go too far now. So, gentlemen, it was great to have you. Thanks for spending
time
with us today.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you both.
So we'll see you again soon.